Can we have the words to that song? I was driving here this morning and I heard the song. And downloaded the chant from CCLA. And I just wanted to maybe try singing this. You can have the first word, first line of the word, something. So much in line with what Brian has shared. So much in line with what we're speaking today. I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. From the far side. Once again, I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was blind, lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. From the far side of me to your side, so you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build you in your side. There on the cross you paid the debt I owe, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it was washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my from the darkness into your glorious light. The chorus again. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it was washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into your glorious light. Oh, I love verse 3. You took my place and laid inside sin. You were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again. Let's do that again. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting and life has no end. For I've been transformed by the blood, by the blood. me from the darkness into your glorious light, and you brought me. So you brought into your glorious light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just revel in that. Can we thank you enough? How can our words be expressed in such a way that befits the magnitude of what you've done?
Jesus, you have saved my life. You have brought me from the darkness into your glorious light.
How wonderful, Lord. Thank you. Psalms 40 says this, that he's taken us out of the miry clay and established us on a solid rock. Yea, he's placed a new song in my mouth, that when others see, they shall fear and trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I love that verse. That was a verse that the Lord gave me when I was just coming to know him. That he's taken me out of a miry clay and he's established me on a solid rock. Yea, he's placed a new song in our mouth, that when others hear, they shall fear and trust the Lord. Shami, can you come up, please? Where is he? Yeah. I'm going to get Shami to share a song that's come out of this 40 days of consecration that the Lord released to him just this week. So, you know, as we look at the definition of consecration. Right, you remember clearly from last week, I'd mentioned this. I'm not going to go back and share a lot of the verses from last week. You would have probably taken photos or whatever, you know. But I think I'll email or I'll put it up on our community Facebook page as well. You know, just the prophetic word that I felt the Lord was giving to us during these 40 days, and what. This is going to be, and I want you to remember this. We've sort of had a shorter time of worship earlier, because I want to do a little bit longer at the end of our service, and I want us to build an altar of consecration. Every Sunday, that's what we're going to do. Every Sunday, we're going to come, and we're going to build an altar of consecration, right? Where the convergence of my will and his will be established. Where our will no longer be the prevailing force, right? But it is his will. Amen. Elodie, do you have both the... Okay, great. No, just hang on to that. I'll get you to come up a little later. And I know even for me, I've begun to realize that there are particular things the Lord is really narrowing. And you know, when he narrows certain things, sometimes life gets a bit
irritable. Can you please re-EQ this mic for me? It's just booming up here a little. When the Lord begins to narrow certain things in your life, things begin, you know, it somewhat gets out of whack to some extent, and life becomes a little bit, or your journey becomes a little bit irritable, and so the Lord's been really trying to nail that, you know, and gosh, I don't know how it is with you guys. I don't know what your experience has been, but it's, I know for me it's that. And so if any of that is happening, just bring the gain down a little bit. So if anything that is happening, I'm not getting irritated, but I'm just saying that it's just kind of throwing me off a little bit with all those sounds. thanks, Joel. Thank you. Ah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank you. Thanks. And so consecration is the amount of our unconditional surrender to God. That's what it is. Consecration is our unconditional surrender. So as my brother here surrendered himself to the Lord, something was released to his spirit. And we pray it is released to yours and mine this morning. All yours, my friend.
So on Monday, God in his kindness decided to wake me up at 4 in the morning. It didn't feel like kindness at first. You know, I'm wearing glasses because I'm losing my vision, but then I'm losing my vision for the world. But I'm gaining clarity for my Savior. I've been, you know, as the church has been placing a high value that every morning, every afternoon, we're reading the scripture. This scripture has been sitting on my heart for a while now. And again, at 4 something in the morning, this is from John 16, and it's Jesus talking to his disciples. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. But not one of you asking me where I'm going. Instead, you're sad. But it's best that I go away. And Larry brought a really lovely, wonderful teaching and clarity on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives a few weeks ago. And in our time of prayer a few weeks ago, the work of the Holy Spirit in us is to convict the world of its sin. And that really stuck to me. It's not a friendly thing. It's quite a work that he has to do in this world. And the world's sin is that you refuse to believe in me. So this song, is based on that scripture about what Jesus is doing sitting on the throne next to the Father and what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and Jesus living in us through the Holy Spirit. Interceding for me, see my Father's eyes. Look at me now. He sees in Jesus. Been looking at me. Look into Jesus. He sees the light of Christ. And don't stand by. It's you and me. Righteous restore the love of the Father in me, and He loves me. Yes, He loves me. Oh, He loves me. Yes, He does.
Amen, 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 amen. Woo! Fresh out of the oven, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you. So let's look at this morning's message. Father, we want to thank you that the love of the Father is in us. And what is the Spirit saying to you this morning? What Shami just sang, what the Lord delivered to him, what CJ was encouraging us today, we can hear the voice of the Father. We can hear the voice of the Spirit. We can hear God speak to us. What is He speaking and saying to us this morning? Lord, we pray, God, that you... Indeed, in Jesus' name, Father, just clear every obstacle to hearing you, sensing you, seeing you, even feeling you, Lord. Your word says, the psalmist says, come taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So today we come before you, Lord, just wanting to abandon ourselves once again. And during this time, during this season, Lord, that you've spoken to us, to set aside time to be set apart. So this morning, we once again do that, Father. And we say, speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So Consecration is the amount of our unconditional surrender. One of the key verses in this whole 40 days is this, the very thing that God had spoken to Joshua, and he said, consecrate, meaning devote abundantly and complete. Why don't you say that with me? Let's read it together. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate, or devote abundantly and completely yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The Lord will do wonders among us. Imagine that. Now, when you read Joshua chapter 3, they were at the Acacia Grove right now. Acacia is, you've heard me share, want to share a little bit more about this. Acacia is it is resistant to decay, because the tree deposits in the heartwood many waste substances which are preservatives and render the wood unpalatable to insects, making the wood dense and difficult to be penetrated by water and other decay agents. Now, acacia wood is dense and extremely strong, making it a great option for any type of wooden construction, right? The use of acacia wood resulted in materials that endured for a long, long, long time. And within the wilderness, you would find acacia wood to be present within the wilderness. So apply that to ourselves. Apply that to our lives, right? And acacia was used for the poles of the ark itself, in many parts of the tabernacle. In fact, acacia is the only type of wood used in the construction of the aspects of the tabernacle, right, which lasted 400 years before it came to rest in Solomon's temple. So what can we draw out of that? That become a people that is durable, become a people that sin or anything in this world will not be able to penetrate, that you can last for a long, long, long time. And that's what he's reminding the Israelites as they were about to cross the Jordan, right? Again, to dispossess the nations that were just wanting to do a number through them, right? Or a number to them. They were wanting to destroy the Israelites. But God was with them, and imagine that, God being with us. How awesome and how powerful is that, right? The significance. Then Moses said, consecrate. Consecrate, devote abundantly, completely yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. So part of consecration is what we're doing is where the Lord would be able to release. God has already released amazing blessings to us, but when we consecrate, I mentioned this last week, it is us decluttering ourselves. You know, when you declutter, we've moved in, I think, about a year and a half or so. We've still not been able to park our cars in the garages yet. Because we've decluttered a lot of the stuff in the house, but it's in the garage. And we got to clear the garage, got to get something else, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. I'm sure many of us can bear witness to some of these things, right? But in that process, you know, as you're decluttering, you begin to realize, man, I don't need this anymore. This is, why do I have this? Why do I need this? I don't really need this. Let me just junk it. Let me throw it. Let me give it away. Let me do something with it. So God begins to come during this time and says, why are you carrying this? You don't need this anymore. Just give it away. Give it away. Junk it. Hallelujah. So, furthermore, in 1 Chronicles 29, 1 and 5b, it says, furthermore, King David said to the assembly, and which the Lord is speaking to us today, and he's saying, who then is willing to consecrate himself to this day to the Lord? Who is willing to? Are you willing, church? Are you willing to? Are you willing to make an altar of consecration? Yes, this 6 weeks, and hopefully beyond. When a question is asked, I want a response. Amen? Yes. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Oh, fantastic. That is good. That is good. So, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Amen. Not amen, but I am. Then I will say amen. You say I will, I'll say amen. Hallelujah. So let's try that again. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? All of you who are online. Amen. 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 Praise God. That's it. Now we've got it right. Hallelujah. And what does it mean to consecrate? Right? To devote, to set apart, to dedicate, to surrender. Centered. It is centered in our hearts and reveals our loyalty to God. It reveals your loyalty to God. Produces a closer and more obedient relationship with God. Deepens over time whilst releasing God's blessing. So consecration is not this 40 days alone. It's a lifetime. Hallelujah. So what we're saying is this. I want to get on this. I want to get on this cruise, so to say. I want to get on the cruise of consecration. And as I get on this cruise, I'm not going to get off any port. I just want to get on this cruise, and I want to go with you, Lord. Right? So it develops over life, over lifetime. Right? And salvation begins with this. Consecration, the first thing is this. Consecration begins with salvation. Salvation is the starting point of a life of consecration. We did this last week, so I'm just going to whisk through this. Salvation requires a person to be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. If you are not born of the Spirit, you will never be able to see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. All roads don't lead to Rome. I tried. It never led me to Rome. I had to go through different ways, right? All roads don't necessarily lead to Rome, right? So let's look at this verse, John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born in the Greek." Now, you will see a lot of the passages that I've given, I've put in a lot of this where you'll find, okay, Genoa here, it's the aorist passive, right? So aorist meaning it is a verb that is used generally within particular languages. So and within the context of classical Greek, that's used. So it's something that happened before, right? So that's what aorist means, right? So the aorist passive, meaning it is not something that you can do. It's a passive aspect. So you can't do anything to be born. You can't do something to be born, right? It is done to you. When I was given birth, I did nothing except come out and cry, right? That was basically it. So being born means it is not something. It is to conceive an offspring or to bring forth. Again, is the word from above, from a higher place, to be born again, to be born from a higher place, to be born from above, and it says to be born again, he cannot. So unless one is born again, he cannot see. And the Greek word there is eido, which is aorist, but active, meaning something needs to happen. It needs to be an active aspect. Right, it's not a passive thing. You've got to be engaged in it, right? And that aspect of seeing is to perceive that I cannot see, right? You cannot see, meaning you cannot perceive with eyes. You cannot perceive by any of the senses. You cannot perceive, notice, discern, discover, right? You can't see the kingdom unless you are born again. So you cannot see, you cannot perceive the kingdom, you cannot sense the kingdom. So Nicodemus obviously now is confused, and he says, how can now a man be born when he is old? Because he cannot, can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Now Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, it is the one is born to you, right? Something that is done to you of water, which is when You know, natural birth is, or when I shouldn't say natural birth, but when we are born physically, it happens when the water bag is broken, right? So the water bag is broken. So it talks about when you're born in, when it is natural birth. So when you're born naturally and the spirit, he cannot enter, meaning come into. Again, it is an active form of coming into. I can't actively come into the kingdom of God, right? I cannot actively come into the kingdom of God. And again, why would this be? Let's look at the next verse, right? The next verse somewhat begins to clarify that, right? In verse 6, it says, that which is born, and now here, this is the perfect passive, meaning it has already happened. So that which has born, which has been given, again, not that you are doing it, but this is has already happened, right? Meaning you have already been given birth to. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So the spirit has to give birth to the spirit. You know, hence why it is not good for us to tell people, just try Jesus. Just try it. When a person is uncertain, don't worry about it, you know, just, we want to close the deal. Because we love the person so much, we don't want the person to go anywhere else but heaven. So what do? We hasten it, we quicken the process, we say, come, no, just accept it. And follow me on this, because this is very, very important. Because there are so many that have prematurely, there have been a lot of premature births. And so, because of the premature birth, you find, you look at their discipleship, look at where they are today. Paul talks about milk, even now that you need milk, and I'm going to cover that. So it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born. And now here, this is the passive aspect, right? This is aorist. This is not the perfect sense. So meaning, you are to, for it to happen, right? Again, it's from above, from a higher place. Are you getting this, church? Are you seeing this? Yes. What this actually really means, this whole, these verses, what they actually really mean. So often we just read this and it's such a cursory aspect. But when you read it and when you look in the original context and when you look at the and you look at the language, the inflections of the language and all of that, then you begin to realize, oh my goodness me, it means so much, so much more. So the spirit gives birth to the spirit, you know? And so what do I do to be born again? Often, you know, we're looking for our part to do something in order to be born into the spirit, right? But here the word of the Lord says, no, you don't need to do anything. But there is something that needs to happen because it's done to you. The Spirit gives birth to the Spirit, right? So let's look at a couple more verses so that we get some clarity, so that it helps us really begin to understand that. Amen? So in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 50 and verse 8 says this, what I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies, meaning physically our flesh and blood being born of the water, it cannot inherit. Kleronomia. It is the active sense, right? Within, meaning I cannot currently receive as one's own to obtain, to be a partaker of. So, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot receive, cannot obtain, it cannot be a partaker of the kingdom of God. I just can't suddenly decide I want to be a partaker of the kingdom of God. I can't inherit the kingdom of God. Something needs to happen. What is that thing? In John chapter 1, verse 5, 8, says this, everyone who believes, and that is the present active. At this point in time, it needs to be active. My belief must be active. Right? That Jesus is the Christos that has being born of God. I have to believe at every one time that God, that Jesus is the Christ who was, who still is, and who still is, who was, who is, and who still is. Amen? Hallelujah. So, praise God. Thank you for responding. I may have shared this story before, but there are a few of you who are new. When I was a teenager, after accepting the Lord, I think I was 18 or 19, I accepted the Lord. And then soon after that, a few months later or something like that, I thought, man, I had a rotten deal. All of my friends are enjoying life, and here, what is it? I have to sacrifice this, sacrifice that, give this up, give that up, give everything up. Can't listen to secular music, can't listen to this, can't do that. Now, I'm not saying that you can't, but that was, at my time, that was something that was going on, right? Can't go to parties, can't play in a secular band. So all of this, so I had to give everything up. And so I was thinking, Lord, I'm fed up. I'm really fed up. So what if I go to hell? I said that. I was sitting down in my room, so what? And, you know, I have this daily bread. How many of you remember daily bread? The daily bread, right? So that day of reading, I opened my daily bread. You know, it is when you go through this kind of, and you just come to a point where, I just get to do it. I'm just going to give it up. I'm just fed up. Because, you know, again, looking out there, the grass is greener always on the other side. And I opened that, and in big, bold letters. You know, daily bread, you've got the title, then you've got the verse, right? Big, bold letters. You fool. You fool. I was saying, oh my goodness me, you just heard today, right? CJ was saying, God speaks to us. So this was 40 years ago. You fool. And in fine print, the verse was, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, can you imagine how much I repented that day? If I ever, thank God I did. Exactly. Thank God I did. Right? So I decided to not only give up, you know, that kind of lifestyle, but I decided to embrace the call of God in my life. You know? So I had to presently believe. It had to be an active, present active. Hallelujah. And John 3:6, it says this. Okay. Oh, yes, correct. I'm trying to marry both here, so that's why. So salvation occurs when we are saved from God's wrath by believing in Jesus. So has God got a wrath? Is there wrath in God in a sense, or wrath? And here it says this, that we are saved by believing in Jesus. So God's wrath is against sin. That we all begin to experience that sin in this, that the sin in this world has consumed us. Something needs to happen. So Jesus explains the process of belief in that very, in a very interesting way. And it says here in John chapter 3, verse 14, it actually says it. You see, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever, again, the Greek here is past, meaning all, everyone who believes. And what is this belief? It is the present active of what? To be persuaded of, to place confidence in, to trust, to rely upon, to hold a conviction. So if, as we read that verse in verse 15, that whoever holds a, whoever trusts, whoever relies on, whoever will hold a conviction. So how can someone come to the Lord when you are inviting him and say, just try Jesus? It doesn't matter, even if you're not fully convinced. It doesn't matter, guys. Don't worry about it. Just receive him and he will convict you. No, the conviction needs to happen first in order to receive him. Right? You got to begin to accept the fact that you want to get married before you actually decide to get married. Correct? The question needs to be asked. The proposal needs to be made. You need to be convinced that this person wants to marry you. So how are you not going to be convinced? So if you're not convinced, if you're not believing in that sense, if you don't hold on to that conviction, in him may have eternal life, right? So if you believe in him, you then may have eternal life. Now, if you look in John chapter 4, it actually typifies Numbers chapter 21, verse 8 to 9, because it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So in that context, if you look at Numbers, it says this, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So all they needed to do was what? Look. That's it. So here Jesus is saying now, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, as the serpent was lifted up. So to look means what? To really believe. Because can you imagine that? What? So imagine the Israelites now. What? Are you crazy? These serpents are coming to bite us because it came to a point where they were being judged for their very sin. Because they were not willing to turn around. So the Lord sent this judgment, which was the form of fiery serpents. And so Moses comes and pleads on their behalf. And what happens? He says that, okay, Moses, this is what you do. Get a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up, that anyone who looks, they shall be saved. They shall be healed. They will not be bitten. Right? They will be healed. Anyone who looks, anyone who looks, anyone who looks. So there must be a conviction. So as they're going, they're going to be potentially thinking, what? Man, imagine in a setting where you've got all these serpents coming after you and wanting to kill you, right? And all you're being told is just look. Do you really think you will have the frame of mind to actually really believe that? So in a world that we live in today, that all of the challenges that come and all we say to someone, hey, just look to Jesus. Look to him who is high and lifted up. How much does it take? You must be presently active. I, at that point, must be believing. So when someone prays for you and says, you can be healed. What? I've had cancer for so long. I've had this. I've had that. What? You think I'm going to be healed? At that point in time, you got to be. It has to be that sense of active believing. Right? That I must have this confidence to trust, to rely upon. So as I begin to do that, so here Jesus is saying now, this is what is needed in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is this sort of belief that is required. And then he takes it to John chapter 3, verse 16. Why? Because he loves the world. That he gave his only son, that whoever, again, believes the present active in him should not perish but have eternal life. So it is again a present, you will have it. Presently, it will be yours. Immediately, it will be yours. Eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever that does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains or abides in him. So if you don't believe, if you feel, no, I'm going to do it my way. No, I don't need to look at the serpent. I'll just do it my way. I don't need to look at the bronze serpent. I'll do it my way. And so what will abide? The wrath of God will abide. And it is the same in today's context. If people do not receive Jesus as their Savior, the wrath of God will be upon those who do not. We hardly hear these things these days. So salvation is by being born again. Salvation by being born again is a gift from God and not based on our good works. Amen. So there's nothing else that we need to do except to look. That's all. We didn't need to go and do anything else. God didn't tell the Israelites to do anything else except look. Except look. That was it. Right? So this next verse here. This is a very crucial verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. It says, "For by grace," meaning carries the undeserved kindness granted by the bestower. So God grants this to us, right? That you have been saved. So perfect passive again. You didn't need to do it, but it was done to you. But it's perfect, meaning it's done. You've been saved. Through, again, by means of, in the original, right? By means of what? Faith, which is your firm persuasion, a conviction based upon being. So the faith that you have, it is for by grace you have been saved through faith, meaning this firm persuasion that I have, that I am convinced. It is a conviction based upon being. And this is not of our own doing. It is a gift. The word doron, meaning a gift, a present. It was the very same word that was used for the wise men. And the wise men came to give gifts to Jesus of God. Not a result of works. So, meaning in order that no one may boast. And this is what God is totally against. That we will take glory. To take wrongful credit. So that, and why? Why is that so important to God? It's because we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, right? So folks, we come to a fork in the road, right? We often come to the fork in the road. And at that fork, we are asked this question: do I trust God? Do I please God? What do you do? Do you trust God or do you please God? The right answer would be to trust God. Because when you trust God, you please God. When you please God, you want to boast. Because you want to say, oh, it's because I did this. So I want to do things in order to please God. If I do more, then he will be so happy. If I sing longer, if I pray harder, if I do this, if I do that, then he'll be so happy. But when you trust God, you automatically please God. Right? When you trust in his word, when you trust in him. Let me try and race through this. So salvation now requires this. It requires us to understand that there is a change of ownership. There is a change of ownership. I don't now belong to myself because you've heard me explain all of that. And this is vital. This is pivotal today, right now, as we come and build an altar of consecration. Right? And this verse helps us understand that. Or do you not know that your body, in the present tense, your current body, the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you... And you are, again in the present tense, not your own. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Say this with me. I don't belong to myself. Now, how convinced are you? Don't answer me. But how convinced are you? For you were bought. Agorazo. Right? It comes from the word, you know, we get the word agora, which is like a marketplace. You know, in Corinth, I remember when I was there in Corinth, when you walk and you see the marketplace, you know, this was in Turkey, it's the Grand Bazaar. You know, they've got 4,000 over stalls there. You can just go there and you can buy. It's an agora. This is what it is. For you were bought agorazo, where to do business in the marketplace, to buy and sell. So business was done. A business was done. And at a price. A price was paid. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So being bought implies what? That now I'm a slave. You know, during the times of Jesus, when they bought a human being, when they bought a slave, they paid 30 pieces of silver. That's how they bought them. Right? So now you're my own. I have now bought you. So he died to pay for our sins in the marketplace of sin. He came down and he died for us, and he paid that price for us. So salvation includes the shocking fact that we were purchased. You know, we sing a lot of that and we say that, but do we really believe that, you know, that I have gone now and bought something, that we were purchased? It's like you going to Fountain Gate and buying something, it now belongs to you. No, it's mine. I bought it. I went to the marketplace. I went to Agorazo, or I went to the Agora, and I Agorazo. I did business there. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it helps us, again, understand this a little bit more here. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. So what's a ransom? For all to be testified in due time. A ransom, you pay a ransom. He gave himself a ransom. When someone is kidnapped. There is a ransom that is placed. So we were kidnapped. But here in Timothy it says, who gave himself, so Jesus now gives himself to, as a ransom, right? And in verse 24 in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 to 25, it says this. I'm going to end with this here. And I'm just going to invite Aladdin and maybe even the team, if you can come up, please. CJ and the worship team, and hang on there for a sec. I'll get you to do this, and I just want to very quickly explain this aspect here, that in Romans chapter 3 verse 24 to 25, being justified freely by the grace through redemption. So it has the word latru, which is ransom, but it has a prefix, which is apo. APO, which is from lutrov, which means the price of release, the payment of a ransom, the required price. The required price was paid. The ransom price was paid. That is in Christ Jesus, God, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. What do you understand by the word propitiation? Propitiation, right? It's a big word. Right, we read that. So for instance, now, okay, I walk here and I bump into CJ's very expensive violin. Don't bump, no. I won't. But let's say I bumped, right? And then I look at the horror on her face. And I pick the violin up and I see there's a crack there, and this is, oh, okay, now how much is it gonna cost to fix? Let's say $5,000.
$7,000.
He paid it, I think, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, $7,000. So, $7,000. And I said, okay. CJ, here. I take out my wallet. And I give you my credit card and I say, grab this. Now take it and buy yourself a new violin. And you know what, CJ? for all of the, you know, mishap and for the frustration that you've got to wait now because it takes so long to get your violin, let me give you another 1,000. You know, you didn't get a chance to really get into the zone that you'd love to, let me give you another 2,000. And let me just, you know, I keep giving and giving and giving. And suddenly comes to a point where she says, no, no, hang on. That's enough. That's what propitiation is. Mm-hmm. It's at that point where the person turns around and says, that's enough. So Jesus comes, is the propitiation, because there's no ransom unlike his perfect being, his perfect blood that was shed for you. And it is only when you can turn around now and turn around and say, Lord, gosh, that's enough, Lord. That's enough. So tell me, how can someone then try Jesus? You can't. You've got to invite them, you've got to draw them, you've got to lead them. Hallelujah. It's like this, if you can hold. Sorry. Thank you. Hold this here, hold self closer to you. That's right. So, when you are born again, you've got the Spirit wanting to come in. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. But you've got self. It's the self that is there, amen? So what happens when you're born again? The Spirit of God, the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So, instead of the Spirit coming and taking over, thank you. What happens that when we are born again, so many times it is the other way around. The self takes over the Spirit. It is the self that is wanting to be in control of the Spirit. Salvation through Christ's shed blood made us his possession.
Hallelujah.
The Lord needs to be possessing us. His Spirit needs to possess us, in other words. We must become, I think it's better put this way, we must become his possession. We need to realize, but this way will never work. Where self is still in control, it is when this. It is when we begin to understand and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Mm. And so as you and I now come and build an altar of consecration. Thank you. You need to give, folks. You need to give yourself the opportunity for the Spirit to now come. Right? For the Spirit to come now. Just going to go through just a couple more slides here. I just want to go to the end. See, there are so many other slides I have. There may be some here. Maybe you've made a decision to put your full trust in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as full payment for my sins and received his as my Savior. Received him, sorry, not his. Received him as my Savior. You're convinced. Or you're maybe number one, you've just rejected him, totally reject the death of Jesus Christ as the only acceptable payment for my sins. I'm counting on my many good works to earn my salvation. That's why it says your good deeds are like filthy rags. Or maybe you're seriously considering, I'm seriously considering repenting from believing I can save myself by my good works. I'm nearing the points of placing my full trust in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here now, finally ready. So friends, when we are drawing people, when we are sharing, when we are evangelizing, when we are bringing people in, we need to bring them into this place that I am fully convinced that I must be born again, or born from above to enter the kingdom of heaven. I am ready to place my complete, my partial complete faith in Jesus and receive him as my Savior. And if you're that person here today, during this time, during the next few minutes that we have, I want you to seriously consider and come to one of us. Come forward. Come build your altar right now. What is the Spirit of the Lord?
We've got a couple of songs that are around the consecration. Love for you to sit, kneel, or stand and take this time to personally commit, and lay on the altar.
As the tear panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Again.
I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. I long
we're going to build an altar of consecration, we have to lay things on the altar. The Spirit, I said to the team first thing this morning, the Spirit of the living God is attracted to sacrifice. If we will sacrifice and lay it on the altar, He will send the fire. He will bring the fire. It is our responsibility to keep the fire burning, because we, as living sacrifices, sometimes we keep getting off the altar. We need to put everything on the altar again and wait for His fire to fall. In Psalm 5, in the Passion Translation, it has this beautiful verse. It says, "At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and I wait for your fire to fall." Come on, let's get on our knees, church.
This prayer, Father, I love you. Give me a willing spirit and a committed heart to obey all your instructions. I receive grace not to trivialize destiny-changing instructions. These are destiny-changing instructions that the Lord is giving us. Uphold me with your right hand of righteousness. I receive deliverance from itchy ears and disobedient spirit.
Yeah, we repent, God.
And I refuse to sell my birthright by giving into the yearnings of my fleshy ideas and desires, no matter how promising it looks. Grant me grace to choose your gracious will for my life.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. This is a point of convergence, folks. Your spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, He may be pinpointing one aspect. What is that one aspect? Bring it to that altar. Can you read that again, please? Bring it to that.
At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and I wait for your fire to fall on my heart.
Sacrifice for you. tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. If your glory wants to come in, let it fall. We want it all. If your fire is consuming, fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll be a take it all, take it all, Lord, here's my life. Every part, all the hidden parts, Lord, here's my life. Lord, here's my life. Lord, here's my life.
take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Be mine. It shall no longer mine. Take my heart. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love.
These days be days where we really chip away at ourselves, the self that holds us back. For we are born of the Spirit. You were ransomed. We get to see the us in particular for how we may have come into the kingdom, Lord. And we examine that. And if you, at any one time, you know, after hearing what I've shared this morning, and even last week, if you feel I now have a better understanding, wherever you are, just say that to the Lord. I am convinced. I am so convinced of your death. I'm so convinced of your resurrection. I'm so convinced of that amazing grace over my life, for me, that you paid this price. You not only paid the price for my sin, your blood not only cleansed me of my sin, but you also paid the price so that we are yours, we become yours. You have purchased us. You have bought us. So we don't want to complain again. We don't want to say, why me? Why did it need to happen to me? So Lord, through these days, please remove these thoughts we might have, things that we've picked up over the years that have become our mode of living. But now we pray, may your Spirit take more control. Beating ourselves up, but just rejoicing in the freedom that we have in you as we walk and follow the promptings of your Spirit, because your Spirit is in us. Now we understand what it means that it's expedient for you to go so that you can send your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, folks, for just pressing into, just taking this time to be a time where you really really build your altar of consecration. That where you're at home, whatever day it is, build this altar. Let this be an altar that you continue to build. Because there comes that sacrifice at that altar. There comes the convergence of your will and the Spirit of God that is leading you one step at a time and is saying, hey, I'm pinpointing this today. I'm pinpointing this today. Let him. He comes in a very gentle way. He comes in a way where he convicts, not condemns, not shames. But he convicts you and I. So let's not go into times of feeling guilty and condemned and shameful. But let's allow our hearts to be convicted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your love. Bless you. May his face continue to shine upon you. Please feel free to stay on if you want to.